Before performing a baptism, the priest approached the young father and said solemnly, "Baptism is a serious step. Are you prepared for it?" "I think so," the man replied. "My wife has made many appetizers, and the caterer's coming to bring plenty of cookies and cakes for all of our guests." "I don't mean that," the priest responded. "I mean, are you prepared spiritually?" "Oh, sure," came the reply. "I have a keg of beer and a case of whiskey." When I ran across that, I thought of Father Worth. So. Today is the feast of the baptism of our Lord, and the liturgical reading shift from focus now, and we are confronted with the image not of a child, but of a full-grown man. The revelation is now is not so much who is this person, but rather, what has he come to do? Last week we heard Christmas is the feast of God's self-revelation to the Jews, and Epiphany celebrates God's self-revelation to the Gentiles. Today at his baptism in the Jordan, Christ reveals himself to repentant sinners. And the baptism of the Lord Jesus is a great event celebrated by the Eastern churches on the Feast of the Epiphany, because it is the occasion of the first public revelation of all three persons of the Holy Trinity, and the official revelation of Jesus as the Son of God to the world by the God the Father. It is also an event described by all four Gospels and marks the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. The liturgical season of Christmas come to a conclusion today with the celebration of the baptism of the Lord. Now, neither John nor Jesus invented baptism. It had been practiced for centuries among the Jews as a ritual equivalent to our confession. Until the fall of the temple in 70 AD, it was common for Jewish people to use a special pool called mikveh, which literally means a ritual bath. It was used as means of spiritual cleansing to remove spiritual impurity and sin. And men took this bath weekly on the eve of the Sabbath, and women monthly. Converts were also expected to take this bath before entering Judaism. And today, the Orthodox Jews still retain this rite. John preached that such a bath was a necessary preparation for the disruption that would be wrought by the coming Messiah. And Jesus transformed this continual ritual into one single definitive act by which we begin our life of faith. In effect, he fused his divine essence with the water in the ceremony. The conversation we just heard in the gospel between Jesus and John the Baptist is a strange one. John was the last prophet. His job was to announce that the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior, had finally arrived. His job was also to encourage people to repent and to turn their lives around so they would be ready to be recognized and welcome that Savior. John used the ceremony of baptism to help the process of repentance, to give people a tangible way to tell God that they were sorry for their sins and wanted to follow him more closely. But Jesus had no sins. Jesus was the Savior. Jesus had no need to repent and therefore no need to be baptized. And yet he shows up by the river and gets in line anyway. John sees him and objects, but Jesus insists on taking his place right beside the rest of the sinners. Why? Because Jesus wants to make sure that we know that he loves us. And so when he saved us from sin, he did so from close by, from the inside out. He saved us from suffering by suffering himself. He conquered death by dying, and he overcame sin by living among sinners. His baptism is a preview of everything that is to come. By getting baptized, Jesus expressed his desire to take our place, take the punishment for our sins upon himself so as to free us from them. Later on the cross, he actually did take them on himself. This was why he came, This was his mission, and this is still his mission. He still wants to save us by coming close to us to make sure that we know that he loves us. Christ chose to save the world not by calling on God's power, but rather by confronting the world with gentleness of Isaiah's servant, by saying to the world and everyone that I won't hurt you. I want nothing from you but your own good. And he pursued that good with all of the tools and skills of gentleness. Tools and skills like fidelity, patience, and faithfulness. A willingness to wait patiently and calmly without fear or anger when it seemed that very little was going the way he might have wished. Christ, during his lifetime, saw very little progress made in what he came to do. For every follower he gained, he made a couple enemies. While his followers were among the poor and the weak, his enemies were usually the rich and the powerful. Such was the baptism of Christ, a baptism into the role of the servant of God, a role of gentleness, of endurance, and of joyful confidence. And that is certainly is our baptism as well. Mary, Queen of Peace. Amen.